Good to be here. Good to see you all. And I was just explaining to a few before the meeting started that I've just got back from New Zealand, seeing my daughter, and I've not been back long, so I'm not quite with it because I've got a bit of jet lag. But I'm hoping that tonight's going to actually help me get back on track because I need to stay up a bit longer before I go to bed. So normally now I've been thinking about going to bed so I can't do that now, but anyway, it's good to be here. And I'll probably I use a lot of the time to talk about the work with seafarers, but I have got a little word if we have time towards the end. Now, it was also mentioned I've got the Sailor Society badge. Now, most of you know that I'm a counties evangelist. So what am I doing wearing a Sailor Society badge? Well, the Lord has his hand in all of this, because I cannot go into the port and just go on the ships at Portbury and Avonmouth docks as a counties evangelist. It's not recognised, you see, and they wouldn't let me in. But the Sailor Society is one of the missions that is represented at the Seafarer Centre there, and also around the world. And interestingly enough, this just comes to mind, next month Sailor Society celebrate 200 years of working with seafarers. They started in London in 1818, and here we are 200 years later. So the Sailor Society give me that open door to and the authority to go onto the ships, and they work very well with counties, so the two kind of help each other, if you like. So that's how I'm able to go around the port and go on the ships. Last year I visited about 500 ships. The year before, getting up towards 600. So why am I slacking? What's going on? Well, it's because I'm also asked by different churches and groups to come and give a talk in the daytime, and it's kind of cut in a bit to what I do on the ship. So I'm going to try and kind of pull back a bit from that. It's a catch-22. You kind of want to drum up support, but you end up not doing the work that you're called to do. So but I am endeavouring this year to just try and concentrate a bit more on going on the ships. So I've since coming back from New Zealand, I went to the port on Friday just to kind of make sure everything was still there, and I've been back today. Been on 7 ships today. It's very busy, lots to do, and I had a very good conversation with a Filipino about the Lord. It was lovely. Shared the gospel. He was very interested, and I gave him some books to read, and I felt seeds were planted. And the rest of the ships I went on also had good times. I've met today Egyptians, Filipinos, Indians, Italians, Russians, and I think Polish were the other ones. So quite a mixture of nationalities, and I put the literature into the mess rooms, help them out with phone cards and stuff like that. And here I am in a mess room, and you see the guys wearing their hats. The Filipinos call them bonnets, and these are all knitted by churches that I visit throughout the year. And I'm able to take them on the ship. I must have given out 70 hats today, just in one day. So it keeps them warm. They're not used to the cold weather. And what I'm doing here is helping them out with phone cards, internet cards, so that they can connect to their families. So that's always important. When I'm doing these kind of practical helps, it provides a way in to share the gospel. Because even today, before I had a chat with the Filipino about the Lord, I was kind of thinking, do you know, nobody seems to be picking up the literature. They picked up the hats, but I was just aware that they weren't interested in the literature. which I thought was a bit of a shame, but it goes like that. But because I was there talking to the guys, helping them out, giving them advice and that, eventually somebody came along who was very interested in the booklets, and I was able to then share it in more detail. So just being there, helping them, normally provides a way in to then share something a bit more meaningful.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
How often do you see people the second time?
Not often, because a ship may come back. The regular ships would come in maybe once a month. So those ships, I will get to know some of the crew. And there was a big container ship that came in regularly for a year, all Filipinos, and I built up a very good relationship with them. Then they had a new charter around Africa, and I haven't seen them since. But because of Facebook, I'm still in contact with them. We use Facebook to, they're right into it. I'm not particularly, but it's a good way of keeping in touch. Other than that, I don't see these guys often ever again. So it's quite difficult in that respect, because I'm sowing seed, but I don't necessarily get to see the fruit. So you've got to be that, you've got to know your calling, really, because we all want to see fruit, but sometimes it's not possible. And I just have to kind of constantly be sharing the gospel, constantly throwing the seed out, and praying with the guys. I love praying with them, but I never really know, you know, what's happened. What is God doing in their lives? And so a lot of the booklets I put on my Facebook link, hoping that if God works in their lives and they want to ask me something, they can still get in contact with me. But other than that, I don't often see them again. But I am still in touch with people that I've met like 2 years ago. And every now and again, they'll just contact me. So there's these guys. You will notice, actually, I do have a lot of pictures of Filipinos. There are other nationalities. These guys like their picture taken. Others don't. You get the camera out, they don't like it. They don't want their picture taken. They think it's like you're the KGB or something. So you will get to see lots of Filipinos, but there are many other nationalities. In fact, I've met over 50 nationalities at Portbury and Avonmouth Docks. And they're all showing off the hats, which in turn encourages those who do the knitting, because they see the seafarers wearing them. Now, what have I got a picture of these guys laying on the floor? Well, it struck me October last year. I went on a tanker ship that came into Avonmouth, and in October time we had lots of storms. I remember we were talking about it, I think it was particularly around Ireland and that, and we don't like the storms because it kind of blows our fences down and it messes up your hair when you go out and stuff like that. But when you're at sea, it's a whole different ball game. you know, and these guys, like all merchant seafarers, are used to being at sea. So they're used to rough weather, but sometimes it gets that bad that they get seasick. It goes on for days, and they're not eating, and they're trying to work. They gave me this picture, which it happened 2 days before I met them, and they just were lying on the floor trying to find some relief from that seasickness. And I really felt for them. My heart went out to them. Because we tend to forget what's going on at sea. But it, certainly even at the port, if the wind's blowing, it's like a gale at the port, because it comes straight off the Severn. So when you're actually out on the ocean, it's a lot worse. And I've had guys telling me that one guy said he actually got knocked out in bed, because they were rolling around, you know, so much. He hit his head against the wall, knocked himself out. And I've seen the videos where everything's just crashing around, and it's horrendous, and it's dangerous. You know, they're in danger of the ship actually sinking. So there's these guys suffering from seasickness. occasionally when a ship comes into Portbury, there's a family, there's somebody on the ship has family somewhere in the country, and this has happened a number of times, and they've not seen that any member of that family for 2-3 years, 5 years sometimes, you know. And so I get a phone call, there's a ship coming in, my brother's on it, my cousin's on it, or something like that, and I want to be able to meet them. And so what I do is I coordinate that these families get together, because they don't have much time. I think this particular family, they travelled all the way from the north of England, and I checked out with the captain and then took them to the ship, and they were able to spend, it's probably only about an hour on that ship, but you know, she was able to meet brother, and they had a lovely time, and you know, it just warms my heart to see them smiling, you know, because I can't imagine what it's like not seeing members of my family for years. So the seafarer has a job which is tough. A lot of particularly the Philippines, but I think it happens all around the world, particularly in countries where they're trying to find employment, it tends to scatter the family over the four corners of the world, really. And I really feel for them that they can't see their loved ones. I provide clothes as well as phone cards and stuff like that. And even a guy was asking me the other day, he needed a bag, he was leaving the ship to go home, did I have like a rucksack? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll have a look in my office. My office resembles a broom cupboard. It's not a very big office. And I had a little delve round in there, and I found a bag. And I was able to give it to him, and he was actually thrilled about it. And I shared this story in the church recently, and somebody gave me another bag. Here you are, that's to replace the one you've given out. So I've got that bag in the office, and maybe at some point somebody will be looking for a bag. So there's lots of practical help, but it blesses the guys. You know, because otherwise he'd have to use a plastic bin liner or something like that. So he's got himself a bag. This would be a typical bulker ship that comes into Portbury. Portbury actually has got the second largest lock entrance in the UK. Europe. It's got the largest in the UK. So we get some big ships in. That one's not particularly big. But it, normally these ships would be bringing timber products and things like that. A bit bigger. That one there would be bringing coal. We don't get so much coal into Portbury since the power station shut down, which is a shame, because the coal ships would stay in for a week and I get to know the crew a bit longer. But we still get some in. And the others, bulkers come in, are grain, animal feed, and ships like that. So, and that you can't see the gangway, but the gangways on those type of ships get very high. As the ship is unloaded, the ship goes up, and the gangway gets higher, and I get more nervous. I don't like heights. That's a car ship. You can see... there's my van, my minibus. Gives you a sense of scale. That's a 9-seater minibus there. A ship like that would carry about 8,500 cars. So they're big. Fortunately, ships like that come with lifts. So when I go up to the mess room, I catch the lift and don't have to walk all the way up unless the lift is broken down. So when you think of me going from ship to ship, oh, seven ships, that don't seem so many. But when they're all this size, there's a lot of walking. And I carry a bag rammed with books and hats and all sorts of stuff. It's like Mary Poppins' bag. You know, I try and get everything in there so that when I'm on the ship, I can then meet the needs of these guys. This young girl is from Singapore. What was interesting about meeting her, she was very excited when she met me. You don't ask them very often, and a young girl getting excited seeing me. But she was excited in seeing me because of my Sailor Society badge. And then she explained to me that she was being sponsored in her job by the Sailor Society in Singapore. And so she wants to go all the way up to the top to be a captain. And she seems very bright, very able. And it was lovely because I was able to encourage her and also encourage Sailor Society, because I said, I've actually met this girl who you're helping to pay for her to get her qualifications. And that, so they were quite pleased about it as well. So she's very lovely and cheerful. And I was also, because this ship arrived around Christmas time, I gave her some presents that were like Christmas boxes that were made up specifically for females. She was able to get given a couple of boxes because there's another female cadet on the ship as well. So they both got encouraged with gifts. And there are some of the gifts. we give out hundreds at Christmas time. Hundreds. There's a lot of work. But I feel like Father Christmas for 5 minutes. And it's a blessing for these guys because we enjoy Christmas time. We meet our families and they're stuck at sea. They want to be at home. And so this helps to encourage them. And I often will give them the booklets, like Why Christmas, you know, the Alpha booklets and others like that, to kind of remind them again what Christmas is all about. So they love the presents. But let's not forget what Christmas is really about. And I look for opportunities to share something of the gospel with them.
Who prepares those boxes?
Well, they come from churches. So as it gets nearer Christmas, I start to get a little bit nervous because I think, well, we ain't got many boxes in. You know, what's going to happen? And then suddenly you get a few cars turn up from... In fact, from Breen, Barrow, Burnham-on-Sea, and all kind of around Portbury and Avonmouth, there are lots of churches which prepare these boxes. I also have said to churches, look, if it's too much to do that, give us the items as they are, like, you know, toiletries and things like that. And we'll prepare like sort of Christmas bags at the Seafare Centre. So there are churches do that. They'll have like a big cardboard box in their church. And over a, you know, a couple of months leading up to Christmas, as people visit church and other activities that go on, they just drop things into the box. And then that box is given to me. And then we sort it out. So there's different ways. So there are some people who are very committed to doing that, and these guys are just over the moon just to receive those gifts. It's a blessing to them. This picture is hard to make out really, but I've just got it actually through the internet because it is a good picture. I've told you kind of about the general things that I deal with, you know, help them out, phone cards, give them Christian literature, clothes, taking them up the shops, all that kind of stuff. But occasionally we have more serious things that we have to deal with. And we've had recently a ship in Sharpness, had some crew on there which hadn't been paid for months and months. And that ship, the owners of that ship, also had a ship in Leith in Scotland, one down in Plymouth, and they were all the same, where the crew aren't being paid. And in fact, what has been happening, in order for the crew to join the ship, they have to kind of come up with about $3,000 for the privilege of joining the ship. And then the idea is that you earn the money and pay off that debt. But they were earning something like $200 a month. So they've been working months and months on the ship and they haven't earned anything. And not only that, they're not getting fed properly. They're not having the opportunity to go ashore to get toiletries and things like that. And it's basically modern day slavery. It's happening on ships. We've heard about it happening inland. I watched a program the other day about the border control raid in some chicken factory, and only one person of about 70 people there was English, and they were trying to find out who were actually there illegally. Now, the biggest problem for these people is the abuse, because they're not getting paid, or if they're getting paid, it's nothing. And they're often, these people are living in appalling conditions. And what's happening on these ships is there is an increase in the slave trade. I mean, they'll dress it up as something else, but if you're stuck on a ship and you're not getting paid, that's slavery. And it's happening more and more. And fortunately, in this country, we're very switched on with these things. And there are lots of chaplains, ship visitors, and other bodies which have the authority to seize a ship. Now, I can't obviously stop a ship, but I know people who can. So when I visit a ship, if I see anything or hear anything that, you know, kind of the bells start ringing, the warning bells, then I can pick up the phone and get somebody in to stop this going on. And I've helped a number of guys over the years, and I'm still in touch with one in particular, where he hadn't been paid for months and months. He was in a desperate situation. He told me himself he was suicidal. He was a Christian, he is a Christian, and he cried out to God in desperation. And one day I just turned up randomly visiting, and he grabbed my arm as I was leaving the ship and said, "Can you help me?" And I was able to help him very secretively, you know, we got him off the ship, got him paid, and actually now he's on a proper ship. He's training as an officer. He looks very smart, and he looks the part, and he's getting paid, he's having his food, and he looks like a proper seafarer. But that these kind of ships, those are cardboard beds. I'll just read something that I found on the internet, because I didn't have time to get a decent story from the Sailor Society. But this is typically happening on fishing vessels in particular. This is from The Guardian, and it's about modern day slavery. So I'll just read a bit of it. It said, when environmental campaigners began tracking a high-tech South Korean trawler off the coast of West Africa, they were looking for proof of illegal fishing of dwindling African stocks. What they uncovered was an altogether different kind of travesty, human degradation so extreme it echoed the slavery they thought had been abolished more than a century ago. It was horrendous, said Duncan Copeland, a senior campaigner at the Environmental Justice Foundation, who boarded the Korean flag trawler at the end of 2008 with naval forces from Sierra Leone. The men were working in the fish hold with no air or ventilation in temperatures of 40 to 45 degrees. It was rusty, greasy, hot and sweaty. There were cockroaches everywhere in the galleys, and their food was in disgusting boxes. All they had for washing was a pump bringing up salt water. They stank. It was heartbreaking. As their investigation continued, the EJF found vessel after vessel, some up to 40 years old, rusted and in a terrible repair, engaged in pirate fishing, an illegal trade that damages already fragile marine stocks and exploits human labour in shocking conditions. The 36 crew members on board on the boat boarded by Copeland came from China, Vietnam, Indonesia and Sierra Leone. 8 men shared a tiny windowless area of the fish hold with 4 cardboard bunks resting on planks. 4 worked in the hold in sorting and packing fish for the European market, while 4 slept, and they would alternate, literally rolling out to allow the next to roll in, and it goes on like that. This is happening more and more, and occasionally it comes into this country, and we respond to it. If we see anything or hear anything, we respond to it. What is happening, and one of the shocking things is, this is where you can be praying into it. There are parts of this world where they don't want the ship to come into port, because people like me end up boarding it and causing big problems for them. So what they're doing is, the ships stay at sea, and the mother ship comes, picks up the cargo, the fish or whatever, and then takes it to where it needs to go. So these seafarers never get to land, for some of them for years. And it's appalling to think it's going on in this day and age. But God knows about it, and we are increasingly getting to know about it. So we can pray into it, and we can kind of voice an opinion about it. I'm obviously in a better position to do that, because I also am able to go on the radio now and again and things like that. But for you guys, you could be praying into it. God, set these people free. You know, in desperate conditions. I can't even imagine what that is like, to be like that. And their loved ones don't know where they are. You know, they're promised a good job, and then they turn up, and in reality, it's a nightmare. It's slavery. So these things are happening, and occasionally it turns up in the ports in this country. But praise God, we respond to it, and hopefully minimise what is happening in this country. But certainly we need that kind of that help to go out across all the oceans of this world. It just breaks my heart to think, even now as I'm speaking, there are people living like that, in appalling conditions. But we can be praying about it. So that gives you an understanding of some of the things that go on the ships. I never know from day to day what's going to happen. Some of it's, a lot of it's quite routine, but it's an opportunity to sow that seed. I see myself as like a signpost, this way to Jesus. That's what I want to do. I don't get involved in telling people to leave their church and join a different church, because I'm meeting people from the Catholic Church, from Baptist, Protestant. Obviously, I'm meeting Muslims, Hindus, and I've got to be very careful. But I really want to make it clear, this is how you can get right with God, through Jesus Christ. And like I say, today I had that wonderful opportunity to be very clear with somebody who was probably quite religious anyway, but maybe for the first time he heard how do I really get right with God and the significance of Jesus Christ. So I know I need prayer to do that work. Thank you that you already prayed. Even before I got up, you were praying into it. I desperately need that. Very aware of that I need the power of the Holy Spirit to break down these kind of strongholds, break through religion, apathy, indifference, and the good news of the gospel to come through. So I'm quite confident you'll carry on praying into it. But there's many ships are coming in, many opportunities, and if you can kind of stand with me as I go out on these ships each day, not only to support me in sharing that gospel, but also in protection, because it's quite a dangerous place to be in the port. There's lots of things that could actually end up harming me if I'm not careful. So that overall protection would be wonderful. And I just thank you for showing an interest in it, really. I don't think I've got time to share a word now, so we'll kind of leave that. We finish about now, is it 8:30? Something like that. Yeah, we'll leave it alone. Is there any other questions? Because often the questions are much better than what I've actually been saying already. But any questions about the work?
Do you have a sort of office there in the port?
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. It's like a broom cupboard. Right. It's very. It's in Portbury. There's a seafarer centre, opened in 2001 by Princess Anne. Very nice centre, very modern, not particularly big. And within that centre is a small office. Unfortunately, it's not big enough for the amount of stuff that I have. It's rammed with books and stuff like that, but also my minibus is rammed. There's 3 chaplains there. I'm the only one who gives out the kind of stuff that I give out. The Catholic, the priest, rarely goes on the ships. He's kind of, his approach is you go and see him in the centre, really. So he's not out there that much. The Mission to Seafarers guys, he likes to get out there and visit, but then he tends to, he's got quite a bad hip, so he doesn't carry much stuff himself. And we give out maybe a society magazine or something like that. So I'm giving out a lot of stuff, lots of books and magazines and things like that. So I need more space, really, but there you go, I have got it.
How did you get on with the fisherdom?
With the
fisherdom, the captains and the authorities?
Yeah, it depends. Most of the time, very good, because they appreciate what you're trying to do. And in fact, when I my first day back from being away on the Friday, the first 2 ships I visited, it was the captains who on 2 of the ships that I actually helped, because they needed themselves internet cards for their phones. They also need to contact their families, and I came on with my bag with everything they needed. I set their phones up. And they were just over the moon, happy, you know, and couldn't thank me enough for just being there to help them. And one guy on a container ship, literally, as I came back off the ship going down the gangway, the pilot is going up the gangway because the ship's about to go. So it was like perfect timing. And I got there quite early because I couldn't sleep, being at my clocks all over the place. So I was there early. And the ship should have already gone, but the tug had broken down, pulled the ship out. So it's like God said, hang on a minute, just stay here for a bit longer and Steve will supply you with a phone card. And the thing is, he was over the moon. So what that does, if the captain's happy, if the ship comes in again, they're more than likely to say, hey, come aboard, you know, have something to eat, have something to drink, you know, spend some time. So, yeah, sometimes the captain doesn't appreciate what you're trying to do, and that's where you've got to be kind of sure about, you know, what you're trying to do, because sometimes they just dismiss you. No, we don't want, you know, not interested, and it can be a little bit hurtful, but you just have to remind yourself that, you know, not to take it personally, and then you move on to the next ship. So. Yeah, so we do help captains as well. Is there anything that I've missed? I know one question that people always ask me, can I speak lots of languages? No, I can't even speak English properly. Being that I come from South Bristol. No, English is the maritime language. So most of the crews speak English. Good time to finish losing my voice. Is that okay? Sorry?
Do they speak Bristolian?
No, but they can understand me. They said that some of these ships go up to Liverpool and they say to me, I'm told they said, do they speak English? But they can't understand it. It really throws them. I said, yeah, we all speak English, but you don't. You know, they can't make head and tell of it. But for myself, I slow it down. Slow it down and speak clearly, and so they can understand me, no problems at all. But the Liverpudlians is a different thing. Okay, Lord God, we just thank you for the opportunities to share the work that you are doing, Lord God. And this world needs you, everybody needs you, and seafarers need you, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that even tonight we've prayed for this work, and I ask you, Lord, that you would continue to pour out your spirit on these merchant seafarers from all around the world. What a privilege that you bring them all onto our doorstep, and that I can pass on that good news in literature or by talking about it, and that word then goes back out across the world again. And I ask you, Jesus, that it would bear fruit. I ask you, Lord God, that you would set people free, particularly from religion. Lord, there's so many seafarers I meet, they have an attitude that because they belong to certain churches, they're covered, and yet their lifestyle is completely contrary to what you want of us, Lord God. They need to know what it means to be saved. They need to know about receiving you, Jesus, into their lives. And I ask you, Father God, that you would bring that truth, bring these guys and some women as well, bring them to a place of repentance, that they may see their lives truly changed, and that they would enter into a meaningful relationship with you, Lord God, and in turn tell others the good news about you. So we just pray again for your blessing upon the seafarers. Encourage me in the work that I'm doing, and encourage this church, Lord God, as they seek to be supportive in prayer and in other ways, Lord God. Bless them, I ask, in your precious name. Amen.